Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week we are talking, continuing actually, the discussion on plans for people with modest means.
Yes.
You like to help all kinds of people, but some people maybe don't have what they would consider a large estate, but you even have plans for people in that situation.
Absolutely. I know we talk a lot about trust on the show, and there might be an assumption and a wrong presumption that that trusts are just for those who are rich or they have a tax issue. And really, that may set up a mentality that says, oh, well, Paul helps this particular group of people, but is he able to assist someone like me who may not have a whole lot of finances? So yes, the good news is, as you said, we can help anybody and everybody. And I really want to focus in today, a couple podcasts past, we're talking about if you had families or if you don't have much money. But I want to really hone in on where we were last week, which is, what if you are a little bit older and one of your greatest fears is that I'm going to run out of money? Mm. I'm going to have a health issue that's going to wipe me out. And the unfortunate part is that, you know, one of the things that we can do during our lifetime, our best option during our lifetime to protect us against problems is called insurance. So that's why we have car insurance. We have home insurance. People have life insurance. And there's also disability insurance. So if I got hurt at work, I could have additional income. And there's also long-term care insurance. So long-term care insurance would be an option to mitigate the costs of long-term care needs should you land in that predicament. However, there's a couple of rubs against long-term care. Number one, it's not the cheapest thing. That's exactly what I was going to say out of the gate. And so it really is not a cheap proposition. So not only would someone with modest means potentially be priced out of the option, and there's a lot of good options out there. So it's not kind of what was only available 20 years ago, which was a very traditional long-term care product, which is you pay me on a monthly basis. And should you at this point in time in your life become ill and need a place to be cared for, then we will kick in. And there are so many more options and availabilities out there. The long-term care products have really expanded. Now, I don't sell that. I know enough to be dangerous. There are people with far greater knowledge than me on the topic. However, unfortunately, in my position, I need to have a little bit of knowledge of a lot of things because this comes up quite often. So the other issue then is that not only is it oftentimes cost prohibitive, but it also requires an underwriting. So you have to be in a particular health status in order to qualify. And in order to keep that cost lower on a monthly or annual premium, then you also have to have a good bill of health. Mm-hmm. So you have to be at a higher rated health status. So if your health is already compromised, you may not be able to qualify for long-term care. Or if you don't have a lot of financial backing, then it might just be you're priced out of it. So if these scenarios are true for you, then really we're left with one other option, which is praying that you never get ill.
Okay.
And that you hope that God will rescue you from this scenario because, oh, what if I had to go live with my kids? And that's actually, and unfortunately, a lot of people's mentality or where they find themselves, which is, I don't have a plan. I really was never able to get a plan in place, whether because I just didn't have the funds or whether I never had the ability to get health rated. So therefore, I think that a majority of society, a high majority with this topic specifically of what do I do if I need long-term care, that this keeps people up at night, and that a majority of people are in the place where they have no plan, where they haven't given it due consideration, but yet this is a striking possibility that we find ourselves here. As a matter of fact, statistically, more and more people need long-term care.
Because people are living longer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So as our medical science increases, which over the past 20 years has been astounding, what we can do today to save somebody compared to where we were just 20 years ago, specifically 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, the jump in technology has been amazing. Well, that's great news if your whole purpose is just to breathe and have a heartbeat. So what I mean by that is that we see people are being saved, their life is being saved, but the quality of life thereafter is greatly reduced. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword, which is we can save you, but we can't get you back to the place to where you can take care of yourself or where the quality of life is what you used to have. And I think this is becoming a more prevalent thought process, which is, well, if I can't have the quality of life that I am accustomed to, then what decisions do I want to make over my health care? And so, so this entire topic is really, it's changing on a regular basis. And I believe that it produces a lot of concern. And even as believers, when we are supposed to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is our Prince of Peace, it still causes fear. Is that how do I align myself with trusting Him, but yet have this reality facing me that says my health is declining, I don't have a good strategy or plan, and I can't afford the alternatives. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of the setup for today's discussion. And the good news is, so sorry if I was Debbie Downer here. I don't know why Debbie gets all of the bad news, but there is great options. There are great options. I have good news for you, which is if we start planning, if we take this issue head on instead of emotionally withdraw from it, mentally withdraw from it, and say, I'll just let it be. If it comes, I'm just going to hopefully never encounter that. And if I do, then my kids are just going to have to deal with it. Well, you really don't want to put your kids there, and your kids really don't want to do that. And so I don't care if they give you lip service. I can guarantee you I watch it too often. It stresses someone else in the family out, and that's not a good place to be. So now, some people do have a strong plan with family members, and they have considered it, they've talked about it, and they have a strategy in motion. That is great. What I'm concerned with is someone who doesn't have a plan in place to meet this specific need, and now it's going to fall to the family in an emergency situation. So let's talk a little more about what does it mean to proactively do or think about Medicaid planning or being in a long-term care facility needing extraordinary health assistance that takes you outside of the home or sometimes even inside the home, but yet we don't have long-term care. We don't have self-insured. In other words, you have sufficient assets to where it's not a problem. You can just write the $10,000 to $15,000 check per month. Yeah. And some people have that financial capacity. I am so glad that you are blessed and have that ability. But for the majority of people, okay, that's 2% of the population that can write that check and not think twice about it. For the rest of the 98%, we need to have a strong plan in place.
Yeah, last week you started talking about the Medicaid Protection Trust. Mm-hmm. There is such a thing.
There is.
You were talking a little bit about how the home fits into that or doesn't. And so maybe kind of review, what did you mean by a Medicaid Protection Trust?
So there's two types of ways that we can go about this. Number one is whenever we have the ability to plan well in advance, there are multiple options that we can actually take. So number one, If we are simply getting older and we have a concern because our bodies are beginning to wear out, that is the natural course of living in this world, is that our bodies were not created forever. The spirit inside of us, when it is ignited by the confession of Jesus Christ, that is our eternal being, not this shell. And so when the shell begins to wear out, if neither spouse, or you as an individual, if you're single, if everyone is still healthy, but just beginning the aging process or at a compromised area because of age alone, not because of sickness, then we can actually plan in the future, then begin to create what we call irrevocable trust. So that means it is a permanent, absolute gift. And that's where we were talking last show about moving the home. It's kind of one of the most common things that we can do, which is if we move somebody's home into an irrevocable trust and we give you a life estate, meaning you can live in your home for the rest of your life. Nobody can kick you out. You'll keep paying the bills. You'll keep paying the property taxes. The mortgage has to be paid off. And that was a point that you made last week as well.
A home that you own. It can't have a reverse mortgage on it or any of that.
That's correct. Yep. And so it only applies to a very certain people group. But if that is your scenario, we can move that so that that can start becoming your legacy. So I talk a lot about generational planning. What does it mean to leave a legacy behind instead of just cash or just money? And so if your heart is that you want to leave something to the next generation, then this is one way that we can accomplish it. But you need to be in a status that is not, you don't have an emergency situation before you, an emergency health issue, and we need to beat the 5-year look back rule. So as a reminder, what that means is that if we move anything, if we give gifts, this would include oftentimes, and actually a majority of the time, tithing. It means if you've been supporting missionaries. So it doesn't matter if you have been giving into God's kingdom, the state would say, we are not going to look at that as gifts to nonprofits and exclude them. They would all be included. So if you've given any type of a gift, such as moving your house to an irrevocable trust, because that's ultimately a gift, you're gifting your home to the beneficiaries of that trust, which would then potentially be family, kids, or whatever your estate plan says, then the state, if you become health compromised, would say, what have you done in the past 5 years? So we would have to beat that 5-year look back rule. In other words, we want to do this 5 years in advance before you need assistance, before you have the health issue. This is kind of a game because God only knows if I'm going to have a health issue right next week, let alone in 5 years. But this is why it's planning. It's not the emergency medical issue, is that if we plan, we have more options. Now, as we head into break, let me give you the second option. So that was an irrevocable trust, but we can use another scheme, which is we can make sure that any surviving spouse is well taken care of. So if you are married, this does not apply to singles. Sorry about that, singles. Is that if you are married, we can set up a plan that says, should I die, then I want to make sure that I leave my portion of community property, my portion of the house, my portion of investments, my portion of the bank account, whatever we have. I want to leave that portion in a particular type of trust, so that if my spouse were to ever have a health issue, then my spouse is fully protected. And so we'll come back from break and talk about that one a little bit more.
Okay, discussing plans for people with modest means and particularly how it affects you if you have facing Medicaid potentially. There are strategies here that you need to plan for. And if people are intrigued and they want to know more, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We've talked about past podcasts, and they're up on legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational sessions where more of this discussion is talked about, and you can also communicate with us. I'd love to hear from you, whether it's a question or whether it's a comment about the show or a topic you would like to hear about. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, looking at people who need plans, who are of modest means, maybe facing Medicaid, and Paul's been discussing something called a Medicaid Medicaid Protection Trust.
Yes, protection, yes. I do the production, and then it protects other people, yes.
Yeah, and it's an interesting scenario to protect if one spouse should precede you. In death, you can protect their half of the estate through a trust.
Yeah, and so again, this is for married couples only. If you are single, then this type of a discussion, this type of a trick does not actually work for you. Mm-hmm. If you're married, then here's the scenario. You have community property. So we live in a community property state. So assuming that everything was brought together and is in the marriage. Now, there's ways to separate property. So if I receive an inheritance from my parents, I could make an elective choice to say that's my inheritance and not bring it into the marriage. So there's always ways that I could end up with separate property. If I was married late or if I had a blended family and I brought assets to the marriage, we could have a prenup. So there's ways to have separate property. But as far as the community is in marriage is concerned, half of the assets when someone dies, one spouse can say, "I want my half to be dealt with like this." Okay, so even though the natural presumption is that the surviving spouse gets everything, that's actually not true. The reason the surviving spouse gets everything is because, A, we had a will or we had a plan that said, give everything to my spouse. Mm-hmm. Or B, we had no plan. And so therefore, in most scenarios, not always, so as scary as that sounds, not always, specifically in second marriages, this is not always the case that the surviving spouse would have priority to receive everything. So the presumption is that my spouse gets everything, but it's actually a wrong presumption. So it's either the law said that the spouse gets everything, or we created a plan that the spouse gets everything. So in the scenario that we're talking about, if I were to die and I have the ability then to direct my portion of community property. So let's say that my wife and I together have a home and that's worth $500,000. And then we have $100,000 in cash. Okay, so super simple. That would qualify as a modest means plan, in my opinion. So that means if I die, I could take half the home value, $250,000, and half of our $50,000 in cash. So that means $300,000 of the $600,000, assuming everything was ours together, I could direct someplace other than to my spouse. I could actually and honestly, literally say, I want to give it to my kids right away. And that, and there would be a pickle, but I am legally allowed to do that. So now, however, I'm not going to give it to my kids. In this scenario, what we're going to do is I'm going to, my plan that I've created proactively, okay, so this is the problem, is that we have to have the conversation. We need to be proactive in how we address these issues. You can't just hope that this works. We need to address it. We can address it. Is that what we can do is we can take my portion and I can put it into now a trust. It's called a testamentary trust. So it comes out of the testamentary object, which would be my will. And my will could say, I want this trust to make sure that if my spouse was ever in a health incident where she needed assistance, that Washington State would not count what I put into my portion of the trust. They would not count that against my wife. So what that means is that my spouse would need to spend what is in her hands. So in this scenario, approximately $300,000, even though this example is not perfect, but it's okay. As an example, she would spend her portion of whatever she has available and control over down to $2,000. However, my portion, because I've died, so this is a high price to pay, is that this is a very expensive plan because you have to die in order to enact it. So my portion now is put into a particular type of trust that says, don't look at this money, but use this money only if my spouse was in a compromised health situation. So what it does is that it allows the spouse to get Medicaid assistance while providing a sum of money in order to pay for what is supplemental to her health needs. So that's a very important word, is that it's a supplemental trust. The surviving spouse can never control it. They can never speak to how it's invested or how it's utilized. They are never allowed to benefit from it in a way that if we just put it in their hands, they'd have full and absolute control. But this is a very restricted type of trust. So there's always a give and a take in this type of planning. And the good part of it is that we can assist a surviving spouse should they be health compromised. However, the negative is that the surviving spouse never has control of that. And that can be a very difficult emotional and mental hurdle in this type of planning. Mm. And I see it all the time, which is, here's what you have to give up, surviving spouse, in order for this plan to work. However, this is going to be the benefit should you give up that power and control over the finances. So as with most things, you just don't get your cake and get to eat it and have all the icing or whipped cream or whatever type of layers you want. There is a negative aspect of this type of planning that whenever we're talking about Medicaid assistance, whenever we're talking about trying to help people who are in modest means, but yet they want to make sure that they can protect themselves or protect their spouse, there is always a give and a take in this type of a scenario. Now, the give is that you have to give away the power and control, but the take is that you actually get the benefit of actually being able to potentially receive assistance from the state. So as long as we have done our due diligence and planned accordingly 5 years in advance, if you're both healthy and if you're both alive, or if we have planned an estate around married couples that if one of you die, that we've actually created a very specific plan to assist and make sure that we can protect each other should you not have much money, this is all possible. And so now one last thing as we kind of wrap up our discussion today is that if you are in a current medical emergency, that is the most difficult position to be in. There are still strategies that we can do. So specifically, if you are married, there are more strategies. However, if you have a current medical emergency, you need to be Medicaid qualified or you need financial assistance, It's very, very difficult. Give us a call anyways. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. We can try to assist you. But in this sphere of estate planning, actually all estate planning, it is superior if you plan. It is always superior if you are ahead of the curve, if we have intentionally created a plan that protects you versus finding you in an emergency situation and having nothing at our fingertips to work with. It is the most expensive plan to deal with because you're going to pay us a lot more, meaning attorneys, you're going to pay an attorney a lot more to rescue you from an emergency than if you had previously planned. And the options are very, very few when we're in an emergency compared to where if we had taken the time to plan, we have a lot more options. So the good news is there are opportunities for modest means and we can plan this out, but we have to get together and we have to take steps to plan it.
People want to plan this. They want to have a plan even for modest means. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, educational workshops coming up, and ways to communicate with us at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great information. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.